Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we realize as the prophet preached this message, Shalom, he mentions several times your presence having come down amongst us, manifesting, Lord, putting great stock in it, and giving us an understanding of the fulfillment of the word in this hour. And we pray, Lord, that what came to him will be revealed to us. We don't ask for the same depth of intensity because he was a prophet, but Lord, we ask for the same revelation which we have need of at this time. So we pray you'll teach us your word tonight, Lord. May we get immersed in it and thoroughly lost in it, enjoying it, loving it, feeding on it, making it more than our necessary meat because it is the bread from heaven. Help each one of us, Lord, to catch the glow, to rise and shine, for the light has come upon us, Lord, to be a part of it, and if it's necessary, some way to manifest it, and that's wonderful by us, Lord, but whatever you want, we know the prophet gave a promise from you that the bride would have the word and what to do with it. So, Lord, we believe that's our portion tonight. We thank you for it. We believe, therefore, you'll feed our souls and help us to come to that higher position until one day the very dead, as it were, come out of the ground and we changed and we all go to the wedding supper to see you incarnate again. That's going to be wonderful, Lord. We appreciate so much. We've already caught a glimpse of it and seen the prelude to it, the coming before the coming, the appearing in this hour, the rising of the day star, the coming of the sun. We appreciate so much, Lord. We just give ourselves to you in meditation in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we are to number 17 in Shalom. And last Sunday, we noted that Brother Branham, in teaching God's peace, which is Shalom, or Shalom is God's peace, he spoke of two things in particular. We made note of more than two. But the two things in particular at the time of Shalom, where he said, I bring you God's peace, number one, there would be gross darkness. Number two, there would be light. Now, it is self-evident that if there is no light, life cannot exist. Or if it does, it will finally cease to exist. Now, the reason I said that was, the first statement is more correct than the second, because if there were no light, there simply would not be any life. Now, what I'm referring to is the experts in marine life tell us that they can bring up fish from the depths of the ocean that actually do not have eyes because there's no sunlight down there, and they therefore do not need eyes. It's total darkness. You say, how do they live? Well, they live on some type of sustenance that gets down to them by reason of the sun. There has to be light if there's going to be life. So, it is self-evident then, if there is no light, then life does not exist. Thus, we can reduce to a very simple term what darkness is. It's declared in the dictionary, and people say it's the absence of light, which means death. That's what it is. Darkness is death. Light is light. Death, therefore, according to Isaiah 60, is in universal sway as darkness was in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Now, you'll notice in there that evidently the universes were already in order to a degree. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And, of course, after that, then God said, let there be light. Now, over here, in Revelation, the third chapter, and notice in verse 14, this is the end time message from God to the end time messenger to the people. And in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, what you're looking at the end time is an appalling condition of spiritual darkness, because these people are absolutely blind to the condition in which they are. Therefore, God has not granted to them repentance. He hasn't. This comes at a time of Hebrews 6 where there is only one opportunity to repent, that to change the mind and turning it down, there is no further hope. So you see, a condition of spiritual death obtains at the last age, as God has already told the fifth age, the darkness of the Roman Catholic Church, those hundreds and hundreds of years, that I will kill her children with death. In other words, death has set in. And death is darkness, and darkness is death. That's pure and simple. I now notice, in Genesis, it was the presence of God that brought forth the Word, that brought forth the light. And it's the presence of God in Revelation chapter 3, that if there is any light, and if there is any word, and there is any repentance unto life, he would have to be there. And notice it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He is amongst us in order to bring the word, which brings the light, which is synonymous with light. That's why Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is light. In other words, there, if there is no presence, there is no word, there is no light, there is no life. But if there is presence, there has to be a word, there has to be light, there has to be life. And you will notice particularly that human life was the last life that was granted. Just like in the days ahead of us, when God is going to recreate the universes, everything will be done preparatory and previous to our coming upon it. God never changes the divine order, and that's wonderful. Therefore, darkness is a condition caused by the absence of the Word, even though God is there, as in the case of Egypt. God was there. The land of Goshen alone had light. There was a darkness in Egypt. There was a gross darkness. You could literally feel it. On the other hand, let us not minimize the fact that those in light felt the light. Just didn't see the light. They felt it. As the others were literally numbed, and they could not move. They had lost their freedom. They were totally bound in Egypt. The Bible tells us, man nor beast move. You couldn't see your hand before your face. But in Goshen, there was light. They were absolutely free in the light and the life of God. That's why Brother Branham made such strong comments and explanations concerning the Word of God. And that's why he could come with this message and say, I bring you God's peace based upon the fact that the people could arise and shine because the light had come upon them. They were able to intermingle, to have fellowship, to enjoy God, to enjoy the fruit and the blessing of God, while all around them was going down. Like as I said last Sunday, the Bible distinctly says God's going to destroy those that destroy the earth. So there has to be people here like Exxon destroying the earth. I was talking to my son today, and I said, we don't understand ecology and the delicate balance of ecology. We don't understand interfacing. We don't understand influence that everything has upon everything else. But I said, I wonder what America lost when it lost the carrier pigeon. See, you got to understand that there's something in here, brother, sister, that the world doesn't look, they're always looking for some great big thing beyond the Word. When the Word of God categorically tells us there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, there'll be a lamb on the throne, there'll be a bride there, there'll be a pillar of fire above it, and all the rest bring their glory in, and they want some stupid Houdini thing that Brother Branham preached against. I challenge you tonight to get your thinking right that this is what you're facing. And if you think you're facing something else, you're absolutely wrong. You're not going to get it. Man doesn't even have a right to think. The Bible said, I have not seen nor ear heard the good things that God hath prepared. If you like what you see here, and you can visualize what the pristine state and the old vernal state of this world was in the Garden of Eden, and you can do it to a degree by what you see out there, let me tell you something. You are merely blowing bubbles in the face of what you're really going to see. And it's going to be the same order, but God's divine order. Human beings, all these wonderful things out here God's doing for us. So, we see what we are... So what we are seeing, rather, at the end time is a total eclipse of the Word in the world church and in the cosmos itself, because it's all being destroyed and going down. And at the same time, the gospel truth gives light to the bride. We saw that in 2 Thessalonians. Now, you see, all the time when you read Scripture, remember the parallelism of Scripture. There cannot be a curse without a blessing. There cannot be a blessing without a curse. There cannot be light without darkness. There cannot be darkness without light. So, automatically, whenever you see something like that, you've got to stop and consider that, or you will just get in trouble. All right, in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. See, a man is going to be there. Just the embodiment of Satan, like Judas was. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now watch, the fact is, deception is death. Eve was deceived, Adam wasn't. He deliberately walked away. What do you think is going to happen at the end time, where people deliberately walk away? Well, no son of God's going to do it, so cheer up and don't feel bad. I just had to bring that out, though. And it says here, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion. Now, they're not just deceived, but the deception becomes a delusion, which means the deception is truth to them. Now, the Bible said, when your light becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? You see? Okay, that they all might be condemned that believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's a wrong form of worship when a revelation has been given you. In other words, if people continue to worship God in a trinity, they won't make it. They say, Brother Bill, you don't dare say that. I dare say it because Brother Branham said it's witchcraft. An idolatry. And if I said any less, I'd be deceiving you people here, leading you astray, and I'd be a heretic to the truth. The Bible says reject a fellow like that. Don't even give him after the first admonition, don't even give him a second chance. Don't talk to me about love unless you get your love right, brother, sister. Oh, there's no room for a lie. Don't ever think there is. Otherwise, why did God condemn it? But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Now, there's the light. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, or the Greek could say even belief of the truth. Because Jesus himself said, sanctify them by thy word, thy word is truth. And Moses said, you are different from everybody else because of this great word that God has given you. And it prepared them to go into Canaan land, which is a type or a figure of going into the millennium. That's exactly why there has to be a message. People say, well, I don't think I need it. Listen, can't you see God's word in continuity? If you don't see it in continuity, I'm sorry for you. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just watch that all the time. That glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. Now, the lie is in Revelation 3:17. Now look at that lie for the end time. Now you've got to understand the lie, which is the deception. Thou shalt not surely die. But put it at the end time. Revelation 3, where it brings it out. And it says here, because thou sayest, here's the lie. I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. There's the lie right there. And knowest not that there's the truth, a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So therefore, the cry of the Laodicean age, according to 2 Thessalonians, and the Spirit of God wrote both of those books by the mouth and the hand of John and Paul, and he said they're going to believe the lie and be condemned. And the lie is, the church is okay, millions are going to make it. We don't need anything. What's this stuff about needing Elijah or needing William Branham or somebody? Why, he's nothing but a cult and a heretic. There is the lie that has been perpetrated. See? Already, the devil has entree, carte blanche, to the world church system and cosmos to bring his man on the scene and take over. Because they have believed the lie. We don't need Elijah the prophet. That's for the Jews. Who says we need this or that? Who said we're wretched, miserable, naked, or blind? We're not. Why? It says, listen, we're increased with goods. We're rich. We got need of nothing. Who reads himself as poor, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind? And now has to come to God in order to get these things, which they most assuredly believe they've already got. So what is the lie today? Anything contrary to the prophetic message that God brought forth in his own way of vindication. Now, no one will doubt a bride must be ready. No one will doubt that. They can see it only too clearly over here in Matthew chapter 25. It tells about the bride being ready. And while they came to bride, bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with them to the marriage supper, and the door was shut. Now, how are you going to believe any kind of a call to a bride to come on out to see the bridegroom, that this bride needs anything, when they believe already, they're already prepared? Now, they don't believe for 1 minute that the bride doesn't get ready. And they don't believe for 1 minute that the bride doesn't make herself ready. Oh, they believe that far too much. Because they take that one verse of Scripture against every other verse of Scripture that would indicate somebody or something must come in order that that act be finally done. Oh, we make ourselves ready. We're rich. We're not wretched. We're rich. They believe the lie. And the lie is going to destroy them. Brother Branham put it this way. He said, just before the sun rises, is Malachi 4 over here. It's the last book of the Old Testament. So let's look at it. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Then they that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It'll leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N of righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, which is immortality. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. In other words, at the time of the rapture, you go into a further stage of sanctification, which is for your welfare and my welfare previous to the entering into the New Jerusalem era. You're not going to stand still and just let grass grow under your feet. It's further. And you shall tread down the wicked. There'll be ashes on the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, at this particular time, before we are changed, transfigured, transformed, and caught away in the rapture to the wedding supper, just before that S-U-N rises, the day star rises. And this is where Brother Branham said, he comes before he comes, which is he appears before the second coming. And he said, the day star rising is that he amongst us, his word being identified. We saw that in 2 Peter, the first chapter, concerning Peter saying, listen, we were there for this momentous event. And it was a prophetic vision concerning the literal coming of the kingdom. We saw it in token. We saw it in the form of a vision, an omen. But he said there's coming a time of the prophecy made more sure. And he said there that has to do with the rising of the day star. And Brother Branham said the rise of the day star is Christ among us vindicated. And being his word being fully identified. So therefore, Peter is speaking of a time when the Word of God is even more fully identified and the presence than the time he saw him transfigured. Now get that into your thinking. I've got to get it in mind because here we are, and I know you sitting there, and you know me up here. We are looking at each other as a couple of liars. We're not getting it. This is the epiphany of Christ, who has returned as the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire. As Brother Branham said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Ghost. We've seen the days of the Son of Man return. And we've seen prophecy made more sure than when they stood right there. And he wrote a letter telling us about it. Now, let that sink in. Either I'm lying or Paul Peter's lying and William Branham was lying. So I'm in good company. Got the finest liars in history. Peter was crucified upside down for his Lord and died for his Lord, talking about what I'm talking about. We are looking at the most tremendous thing of the ages. And you know what? It's going over our heads and our hearts. But it won't continue to do so. There's no way because we're just getting an understanding now of it. So the Holy Spirit can figure it. It's like Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in it. In other words, if God has given us a revelation, then God is duty bound to give that which goes with it. Which is the dynamization of the mechanics. See? All right. Let's compare this with John. Now remember, the voice in the Holy Mount. The mighty great vision that he saw. All of this. Now let's go to John, the 12th chapter, and verse 28. And it says, then Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now that's what was said. Okay, let's go over here. To Hebrews, the 12th verse, the 12th chapter, and hear what Paul had to say about this. This is just before the millennium, which brings us to the New Jerusalem. In verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now somebody speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him. That speak from heaven. No, it doesn't say speak from heaven. We turn from the one from heaven. Now, where is the one from heaven? Revelation 10 and 1, which is Revelation 5 and 1, which is Almighty God Himself. See? Whose voice then shook the earth? But now once more promise, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Mount Sinai. But look at today. And this word once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what cannot be shaken? Peter said, this is what we saw, but you've got something more sure. Why is it more sure? Because Peter only had a vision, and we are at the end time of reality. We're going to walk into it. He was 2,000 years off. We are 2,000 years down the road. Brother Branham speaks of being down the road. Now, wherefore? Now remember, this remains. This promise remains. This is the thing that counts. This is the stabilizer. This is what's going to get you through when nothing else can get you through. The sure word of prophecy. I know it sounds far-fetched. Everybody wants to go back to the day of Jesus and the day of Paul and all. Forget it. It's like when that old fella, I forget his name right now. Remember later on, I told you his name some time ago. Down in North Carolina. Baptist minister. Dying of cancer. He didn't want to die. Brilliant, fine man of God. He lay dying and he was musing himself and talking to the Lord. And he said, Lord, if I was just back there in Palestine with you, you on earth, he said, I could touch you. And like a voice said, if I was back there, you couldn't even get to me. And when he began to understand how God worked, he was suddenly healed. And the bed springs were hot to his touch even. You call it a jolt from God, call it what you want. It's a phenomenon. I don't go too much for phenomena. Because then you might want a hot bed spring, forget it. God may give you an icicle. You miss the whole thing. Just stupid. You see, you can't go by that. You got to go by the fact of the voice being a scriptural voice. It wouldn't have done any good. The man was perfectly healed by the power of God. Became a great minister of the gospel. Now it says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now listen to me. What is he saying here? Hearing the voice from heaven gives you the kingdom which cannot be moved. And unless you hear the one from heaven, you will not be in that kingdom. You'll be shaken down because everything is going to be dissolved. Absolutely. Now, we cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God, except with reverence and godly fear, for our God's a consuming fire. Now it tells you right here, these people looking forward to this, they had to be like walking on eggshells. Reverence and everything else, very careful. Well, we must be too. But there's a difference between them and us. They merely were pointing to it, pointing to us here at the end time promise, and we're looking at it. All right. You'll notice that this is Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17. We read it. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Who came down? He did. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory and the hearing of the saints and so on, right down to the end of the line, to verse 23. Now we know that this is Christ our peace, His very presence, bringing us peace from God, or the very peace of God, God's own peace. Shalom is a message of peace. And the message is vindicated. So therefore, this must be 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 7, which is the relaxation in a time of gross and utter darkness. That's what you're looking at. You that are troubled, rest with us, relax under the seventh seal. See, all right now. And we also know that this has to be the time of the first resurrection, which Brother Branham shows it by quoting Paul in Philippians 3, 10 to 14, on page 23, which we'll study. But now remember, we were on page 22. And Brother Branham, bringing this message, has brought us to the place of saying, all right, I finished talking about darkness, although he really hadn't. But he laid the foundation. I want to finish talking about light, though he really hadn't. He just laid the foundation. Now we're going to go on, and naturally he would talk about arising and shining and going into the new year and showing us exactly what we could expect from what he brought us. Now how much that's going to be, I don't know. That depends on how God opens up this word to us, because the man would do what he's supposed to do. Now he says here, paragraph 136. Now what about the new year that we're facing? Because this is a new year message. We could have more to say on this. In between, from darkness to the light. We could have more to say then of what is going on now as He amongst us, the Word vindicated, God having moved, purely fulfilling His Word, in order that you have your transition from the darkness which you were in to the light. Another, just like Paul said, you're not children of the night. You're now children of the day. What day are you now a child of? The light, the millennium. You're already identified. To the light, introducing the light coming between, but now we want to go straight to the new year. All right. New year, what about it? Brings me hope. In other words, an earnest expectation. See? Faith giving way to hope. Faith, hope, love. It's giving way. It's giving way, hope, faith is giving way to the earnest expectation. And the earnest expectation, you don't hope for when you get it, because what does a man hope for when he's got it? Giving way then to the very presence of God, which is love, and God is love who is here. All right. Brings me hope. We're 1 year closer. We're 1 day closer than we were yesterday. We're 1 hour closer than when we started. 15 minutes to 11 is 15 to 12. 1 hour closer. We don't look back. We look forward. See? Oh, yes, sir. New year doesn't mean turning a new page. Now, you remember that, though this is a 25-year-old sermon. It's like a certain man one morning. This man got up early and went out and picked up the paper, came back, sat down, put his feet up in the divan, put his glasses on, and began to read the paper. His wife was out getting breakfast, and she said, John, anything new? He said, no. Same old thing, just new people. Now, you put that in the light of the Scripture, there's nothing changes. It's just people enacting the same scene. Always was there, right from the Garden of Eden, unbelief, getting away from the Word, and so on. That's right. Murders, rape, everything else. Somebody else has done it. See? That's true. Not turn a new page. Now, let's read this whole paragraph. It's turn to the Word. See what the Word promises for today. See what the light of the day is supposed to be. What we ought to do this year is not to go back to creeds and things, go back to old denominations. Not go back to old denominations, but turn to the Word. See what kind of a light is supposed to shine today. Old church, turn to the Word, get back to the Word, flip the right switch, quit punching around on electric lights, see the artificial man-made. Turn to His Word and see the promise of today, and then see what the promise is and watch for its identification. When it's vindicated, then you know whether you're in light or not. See what the promise is. Now, Brother Branham says here, turn not and don't turn a new page. It's turn to the Word and see what Word promises for the day. The Word promises for today. Now look, what you're looking at here is something Brother Branham said, that you cannot rest Scripture by applying a verse that belongs in one age to another age. So when he's saying here, turn to the Word to see what the Word promises for today, what the light of the day is supposed to be, he's warning us that there is a certain truth, word, promise, promises, truth, doctrine, expectations that are for this hour and for this hour only. And if you look back and take the expectation of another hour or a general concept and understanding, which goes from age 1 all the way to age 7 and through it, because the blood holds all the way through, and the rebirth is always one and the same. There are certain things that obtain, but there are certain other things that do not obtain. And they are positively for that specific time, and they identify that time. And that's what Brother Branham is warning about. Don't be a student of the Scripture and theology. No theologian ever made it or ever will make it. Look what Paul says over here in the book of Hebrews at this particular time. And we're looking, of course, at chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's the Logos of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. In other words, you are no longer looking at the inception, so to speak, of Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. You are not looking at that any longer. You are going beyond it. And Brother Branham said the beginning of the creation of God was God forming Himself into human flesh. Then what is beyond it? It is a bride over which He reigns in New Jerusalem. So you're not going back to fuss about Godhead, although there's one God, tells you that flat. You're not here to fuss about doctrine. You are here to know what is vindicated for the hour. Now, Brother Branham brings it up. Let us go on to perfection, a conclusion. Not laying again the foundation, repentance, and dead works in the faith or God. The doctrine of baptism, laying on hands, of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. This will do if God permit. What's he telling you? He's telling you it's time to wrap it all up. Now, what does the wrapping up consist of? It's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God and the power of the world to come, having fallen away to ever give them an insight and a repentance. Utter darkness and death. Now, that's what you're looking at here. Now then, is the church in the world prepared to wrap it up? Nah. No, sir. Well, you and I, look, we're not beyond the stage where we don't understand Godhead and understand doctrine. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just trying to tell you, look, the message has been brought. We are ready, by the grace of God, to step into immortality. And all of this will be a hindsight in a particular way. Not that you just throw it in the garbage tin or something else. But you see, there's a reality that Peter spoke of moving in to the realm that is beyond the intellectual. It's where you know that you know, like Abraham. You come to the place where Abraham said, the full assurance of faith came to Abraham. At the time, he no longer considered his own body now dead, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God to him, being strong in faith, giving God the glory. Why? Because he knew by literal vindication by God himself, that God raises the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. And Brother Branham came right on the scene, raising at least five from the dead, seeing creation manifested by the power of Almighty God. Brings us right to this place where he spoke of being in the presence of God at the white throne. Things which are not as though they were. In other words, we have come to the place of a finality of faith. In other words, you cannot be shaken, period. You become as endurable as the Word of God, which cannot pass away because you are the Word of Almighty God. Living epistles may be read and known of all men and with a wrong interpretation, but been written by Almighty God. All right. The word of promise for today. Let's go back to the very beginning and see the word of promise today. It's right over here in Matthew, the 3rd chapter. John the Baptist is speaking. Now, he hasn't come to the place where he's introduced Jesus yet. He is talking about Jesus. He declares his ministry. He shows who he is in the Word, and he answers the critics. And he doesn't have any sympathy with the critics. When they come out, the Pharisees and Sadducees, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And Jesus himself called them serpent seed. Vipers. Bring forth therefore fruits for repentance. Bring forth something for repentance. How can this age repent when it doesn't consider vindication? And a vindicated prophet. You tell me. They can't repent. Blessed are your eyes because they see, because others wanted to see what you wanted to see and couldn't see it, but you see it. And he said, blind leaders of the blind. But blessed are your eyes that you see. How? Because the eyes haven't been darkened with the deceitfulness of sin and unbelief. Now he said, listen, think not to say within yourselves of Abraham to our father. And he said it right to Jesus. Here's old John saying the same thing Jesus said. It's the same Holy Ghost. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. But now the axe is laid unto the root of all of the trees. You notice that? It doesn't say that about him coming to the Gentiles. Therefore every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast to fire. It already started way back there. 2,000 years ago, before Jesus ever came on the scene ministering, he was already depicted as the judge, the same as Brother Branham did it. Depicted right, John did. Look at it. Cast and tent of the hewn down, cast the fire. Now listen, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance. But he that cometh after me is mighty than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. Thoroughly purge his floor. Gather his wheat in the garner. Burn up the chaff and quench the fire. Did he do that? He didn't do that. Didn't do it. Only a token. 144,000 are still being sealed into God. the Gentile bride has been taken away. But I'm trying to show you here this, that what is the word for today? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's in his appearing now, the same Son of Man who has judgment committed unto him, the prophet. So what is he doing now? The fan is in his hand, thoroughly purging the forth, gathering wheat in the garner, preparatory to burning up the chaff. And the chaff is the last group of people that the bride comes out of. That's Pentecostal. Do what you want with it. That's the Bible. See what the light is for the day. What is the light for today? Go over here to the book of Amos. And we look at the third chapter. And in verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto the servants his prophet. It tells you that. That's true. In 1965, Brother Branham preached this day as this scripture fulfilled. And just before he left the scene in 1965, he preached the rapture. Laid the whole thing out. That's the message for the day, the promise. That the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, and there are people who say they believe this message, and the majority rise up in rebellion when they say he is here. I say, who is that that's here? What has he done? What is he doing? And if you can't answer, I'm going to tell you one thing. Then he isn't doing you one bit of good. He's only here to do you harm and damnation. Because it always goes light and dark. Judgment unto condemnation or judgment unto vindication. You think you can change it with your own puerile thoughts? You can't change God in his ways, brother, sister. Don't try to do it. Pray for God to give you conviction if you don't understand what's going on. Now he says, see what the light of the day is supposed to be. What's the light of the day supposed to be? Hey? The light of the day, people believe he's coming. They believe there's an appearing. But they can't place 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord descending with a shout. They can't place it. They can't do it. The minute they begin talking about that, they say he descends and he stays up there. Then we go meet him. That's a lie. He comes right down here. Then we meet our Lord in the air. Like the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand. They don't understand. They have no reason to understand. There's nothing there to understand, see? What's the light for this day supposed to be? Now, what we ought to do this year is not go back to creeds and things. Go back to old denominations. See? Not go back to old denominations. He repeats it. But turn to the Word. See what kind of light is supposed to shine today. Now, look at it. That sounds very good. But who is going to do this individually, and you've got millions of people who claim to be Christians? Now, who are you going to vote to go to God and get the answer to get this? Now, anybody knows the prophet has told the truth here. There is a word that could not be fulfilled until this hour. What is that word? Is it just sit around and say, he's coming, hallelujah? And we know we're born again. If we speak in tongues, we do this, we do that. We know we've got something. Is that what it's all about? Well, if that's what it's all about, I can't buy it because I don't know that they know. And they can't prove it. The trouble with you, they say, Dale, is you're just too stubborn. You don't want anything proved. I say, no, hold it. I'm not stubborn. Is you're too stupid to see that I'm just smart enough to demand something that you haven't got. And they better have something they don't have to convince me. Because I won't listen to a man in this corner. Not now, because it's just too dangerous. You talk about an appearing, I want to know about it. And I don't want anybody in Branham message try to tell me they know more than I know, because they don't even know that I know that something came down. And there's a picture right there. And that's not in heaven. William Branham said, the prophet is on earth, and I am that prophet when that one comes down. He said, that is a picture of God. And where's God? Tell me where he is. He's right here somewhere in the form of a pillar of fire to raise the dead. Don't try to tell me different. And then say you believe this message, because you're a liar. Just sit plump and plain. And I'll call your bluff any time. I don't fool with people anymore that don't understand this. I've not got time for them.
Because as soon as they ask a question, when I mention that one word, Jesus, where does your mind go? And I said, I'll tell you, don't tell me. You go to a man sitting on the mercy seat or on the throne. You don't know. Brother Branham said he's returned to a pillar of fire. Paul the Apostle said, we don't know him after flesh, and we won't know him until the incarnation. If you tell me that, how many people, so-called believers in Brother Branham, understand that? You know why they don't understand? They don't want to understand. They want to do it, Brother Branham said, don't do it. Old denominations and creeds and dogmas. What kind of a light is supposed to shine today? The day star, Christ among us, the word vindicated. Then you say what the prophet said. Old church, turn to the word, get back to the word. In other words, arise with the day star and shine with the day star. The bride shines with the light of the day star because the sun is not here to give us immortality. Oh, it's here to do it, but it's not going to do it right now. Here in the light of the vindicated word. So every testimony is that we have a vindicated word, and they're going to sneer at it. I don't care if they sneer. I've got over their sneers. Because if I'm right, and I believe I am, my voice will thunder at the full consummation of the white throne, and they'll be blasted plumb out of eternity. You say, you sound mean. Why should I? What do you mean I sound mean? Look at, if you even bought a lottery ticket, you'd go and claim it for money that could condemn you and burn with you, because that's all you got. You think I'm not going to claim a vindicated word of Almighty God for eternity? You've got something wrong with your thinking, brother, sister. Don't talk to me. I know people think I'm awfully mean. I'm not a mean person. I just got to tell the truth. That's all. And the truth is pretty tough at times. Now he said, oh, church, turn to the word. Get back to the word. Flip the right switch. Get back to the word. They say, never, we're off the word. Well, what were we on? Flip the right switch. Quit punching around on electric lights, artificial man-made lights. Turn to see the promise of today. Turn to see the promise? How do you see? Revelation. And then see what the promise is and watch for its identification. Well, is there a promise people can read about for this hour? The appearing? The days of the Son of Man? Elijah the prophet? They don't believe that Matthew 12 belongs to us, that he must come back here and do the same works that he did for Israel. But the Bible says so. They don't believe that. You show me that in any book of theology you can possibly put your hands on. Let them explain Ephesians 1:17. They can't do it. There's not one book explains it. Go to any library you want. Pick up any book on theology. You cannot find these answers. The only man that told the truth, way back there, forget his name just at this point here, Rotherham. When it came to the word, he even proves you, the presence. He said, that's a word. He said, nobody knows exactly what it means. He said, we had better wait until it's manifested, then we'll know it. Brother Branham said the same thing. Any good theologian say the same thing. But now they say, we're rich, increasing goods, we don't need anything. That's the lie. Because it's death. Because that is darkness, and darkness is death. See, you cannot change one from the other. Light is life, life is light, light is light. Back and forth. Death is darkness, darkness is death, back and forth. You can't change it. And there's no such thing, as Brother Branham said, a drunk, sober person or a black, white man. Or there's no such thing. You're either black or white. Either drunk or sober. You can't mix the two up. When it's vindicated, then you know whether you're in the light or not. See what the promise is. In other words, Brother Branham is going to his own ministry here, which has the evidences, and let's understand the truth here. Paul in the book of Hebrews, and he says the same thing in the book of Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. He says here, therefore, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward, how should we escape and neglect so great salvation, which was first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, just a minute. Let's go back to Jesus in John 14. And when they said, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us, he said, have I been so long that you don't know the Father? Understand this, he said, when you see me, you see the Father, because the Father in me is doing the works. Is this any different? No. It's a vindicated message that Paul had. He said, I never came to you just talking. I came to you in the power of Almighty God. I was vindicated. He pointed the same way Jesus did to the light of the hour. Now, that can't happen again till the end time. Oh, they want to put it into age 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It won't work. See, all right, you people are such smart theologians. Tell me, when did he appear in age 2? When did he appear in age 3? When 4, 5, and 6? Tell me. He's supposed to appear in age 7, right? Tell me what he's appearing. What's it all about? They'll stick him right up there, someplace in the sky. Say, well, that's he there. Oh, no. Prove it. Can't prove a thing. Brother, sister, listen, I'll tell you something. I've been through their books. I'm 74 years of age. Been 50 years in this and longer. They haven't got it. They haven't got it. Brother Branham tells about it a little later on this message here. Now, listen. He says here, in 141, changing the pages or changing calendars doesn't change time. See? A lot of people say, well, the old year's gone. Throw away the old December calendar and put up the other one, the new year. That's what new year means to them. To me, I want to see what's promised for the day. I want to know what the light of the hour is so I can know how to walk in it. I want to know where I'm living, what age I'm in, how far up the road I'm. Now, Brother Branham, you can see from here, only preached this sermon for one reason. He wasn't interested two bits worth in January 1st from December the 31st. He didn't care two bits about that, let's face it. He used it as preachers do in order to attract people at a certain time with a certain subject in case they might happily show them the grace of God. That's why he preached Christmas messages, that's why he preached Easter messages, and that's why any preacher preaches it. Because believe me, the birth of Christ is every day in the year, the death of Christ is every day in the year, and the resurrection is every day in the year, and the life is every day in the year, and he doesn't change. It's simply a special occasion where he can draw their attention to what he wants to rivet them with. And the idea is this. You're looking at a new year. Let me tell you now, get your thoughts off of one day. January 31st, I beg your pardon, December 31st to January the 1st. If you want something really different, you better go to the message, the Word of God. That's what he's telling you, see here? Now, I said, I want to see what's promised for the day. I want to know what the light of the hour is so I can know how to walk in it. I want to know where I'm going, what age I'm in, and how far up the road I am. In other words, how far to the millennium am I? In other words, Brother Branham is telling us here, do not change the calendar, but change your mind. Let's go back to John 12, where we were a little while ago. And we'll read from, well, a little bit anyway. Beginning in verse 23, and Jesus answered and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am there shall my servant also be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Down the road. The voice from heaven, going to glorify it. Mount Transfiguration, and every point at this point is transferred down to this hour of the presence. The people therefore stood by, heard and said the thunder. Others said an angel spoke him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. From that, throwing the stone up in the air, so to speak, from that voice came the voice of this hour, proven. The prince of this world is judged. Satan and his lies fully exposed. You know exactly who is bride and who isn't bride. You exactly know destiny by vindication. And I, if I be lifted up the earth, will draw all men unto me. That's in the crucifixion. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And the church is wretched, miserable, blind. Timely. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not in him. Notice? Now if he does miracles again, do you think they're going to believe? Why, everybody says, sure, I'll believe. And they turn around and make it the devil. How much faith is there? But though he had done many miracles, yet they believed not in him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? What is that based upon? That is based upon a vindicated ministry. Read it again. He positively did the works, the miracles. They still wouldn't believe. That the saying of Isaiah should be fulfilled. Lord, who hath believed our report? Who believes what they're seeing? Who knows God's arm has been revealed? If this is what Brother Branham said, you have seen a perfect revelation of Jesus the Christ, and the words of Isaiah have been fulfilled again. Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Very same thing today. It's going on. Now, let's go to 1 John. And we go over these scriptures all the time. I believe in repetition until we know exactly everything we're supposed to know. Once you know continuity, that's all you need to know. John 1, 1 John 5 to 7. This then is the message we have heard of him. And declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. In other words, God is all word. God is all word, all living, vindicated word. And if we say have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. In other words, when vindication comes and you turn it down, you're a liar. You claim to be a Christian, you're not a Christian. You say you've got the light, you're wrong, you're in darkness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now we're talking right now of the morning star. We have fellowship one with another. Do you see why it is? I say this church has got to be built on nothing but the revealed word. Never mind anything else. You say, oh, Brother Vail, what about our conduct? Forget your conduct. You can do what you want with it. But keep it out of these services. You've got the cart before the horse. Why do you think King Cain killed his brother? Tell me. I preached for 8 solid years to you. I want an answer from the floor. Why did he kill his brother? Because his deeds were evil. What was his evil deed? He was off the word. Now, when you're on the Word, you're going to have the love and everything else you talk about. I try to get this across to you time after time. How much I'm getting across, I don't know. I'm not here to judge. But if this word's really getting across, there will be an indissoluble union amongst us. There will be the love we're talking about. Listen, there'll be that fellowship one with another based on this word. So get your eyes on the word. Some of you are too smug. I feel many times like rapping knuckles and I just draw myself back. I say, well, I can't do anything about it anyway. Just pull your old trickery there. Be smart. Give the word and then stand back. If the birds get it, I'm sorry for you. If you're full of rocks and briars, I'm sorry for you. But I'm not too sorry. That's your business, not mine. Don't you see why I preach the way I preach? You've got to come to this place where everybody's got to come. Eve wouldn't come there. And Adam stuck with Eve. If you want someone else, listen, you just be happy. Go someplace and get what you want. Because you'll get nothing else taught here but what I see in this word. Based upon he came down, it's vindicated. And if you can't get that far, I don't care how you work and what you do. Because you'll only come away saying, hey, boy, have I got it. I'm rich in Christ and good and don't act a thing. Hallelujah, look at me. And you're wretched, miserable, blind, sinful, and murderous. You got a wicked spirit. I ain't got a wicked spirit. I just don't have my usual hip or raw happy spirit. I feel more like preaching a solid hard truth. That's all. I can do with it and you do with what you want. Because I can tell you one thing. The majority of us are still messed up on what's love. Here you are. Brother Branham laid it on the line. You want to be kind old sweet old priest? Go right ahead. Kind sweet old priest crucified Jesus. He even proved his point. He's a nicer guy than Jesus. Oh, sure. Esau's a nicer, sweeter boy than old Jacob was, too. Now, listen, if we walk in the light, that's the light of the morning stars, what we're talking about right now. Hey, what about it? Is he in the light? What's he doing in this hour? We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us. And that takes care of your conduct. Brother Branham categorically said the Laodicean age, the age that we're living in right now, we are at the highest virtue we attain to, which is brotherly kindness, which is a stickiness. But he said it arises to the occasion. If somebody's brother's in trouble, somebody's sick, someone got a problem, he said you'll rush right there and try to help them. Have we got that far? Oh, come on. You answered my question. Not being hard on anybody. I'd like some answers. See, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't get there outside of this word. Because if you haven't got it, doesn't do you any good anyway. The blood does not cleanse outside of the light. The blood does not cleanse outside of the word because Christ was the bleeding, bloody word, the blood of God. How are you going to separate the word from the blood? You tell me. How are you going to separate then the word, the blood from light? You can't do it. It's right here in the book. Hebrews the 10th chapter, the same thing. Trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant, worthy sanctified, make it an unholy thing. Why? Turning down the word. Amen. See, this is what we're looking at. Every channel of the soul plugged with the word of God. The mind loaded with the word of God is going to bring forth the light. And we are supposed to rise and shine, which means take our position with vindication. Say, look, you can shoot me, go ahead. You can torture me. I might say there's nothing to it. But in my heart, you can't take it away. That's it. Live or die, sink or swim. You tell me what else is there. God have mercy. What can you produce or anybody else ever produced? I was around all the big shots, Oral Robertson and Tommy Osborne and Brother Hicks and Clifton Erickson. Sure, I knew them all. I was around W.V. Grant, a certain amount about A.A.L. All those guys all around them, you bet your sweet life. Let me tell you, all put together, didn't have a little finger. Brother Branham had a little finger. They never had it. Look how everyone is lousing up with women and with men and with money and God knows what. Show me one place where Brother Branham ever had his character impugned by one act or one word. And he talks about these guys. He said they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait. And he said waiting is a virtue. And he used virtue as dunamis. Yeah. Don't get excited. Rise and shine. Identify yourself with the word. See? Okay. Now, he said, I want to know how far we up on how far up on the road I am. What road? The scriptural road that leads from Calvary to the holy city, to the Lamb on the throne. How close am I to getting my break where I come to a certain place and I can't miss it? When you and I come here, dynamized, there's no way you'll miss it. Because they without us cannot be made perfect. In other words, they cannot finish their course until we finish ours. What is our course? The last part of the word. They can't come out of the grave until we get the last part of the word. They're waiting on us. We think that we're waiting on them. That is stupid. They're waiting on us. How far are we? We're right to where Peter said. The more the word of prophecy made more sure. What does he mean made more sure? The word back there that Jesus says, some of you will not die till you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That was just a vision. That wasn't the word made sure, the prophecy made sure. It was made sure to them that they knew it was coming, and they're waiting 2,000 years for it, and we're standing right here in the presence of the one that's doing it. They're not in that presence. We're in that presence. The same voice that said to Brother Branham, you can't go to him. Same thing is said to them. They got to wait their time. Now, 143, how much time we got? 20 minutes, we'll forget it. We'll start tomorrow morning, right here in number 18. Talking of this period, get this in your minds now, talking of this period. That Brother Branham said, how far up the road am I? The kingdom. Where am I at in it? He wants to now answer the question, not any longer, from Peter, speaking of the day star, although the day star is still hanging in evidence. But he wants to know, show us, what about Paul? Where do we stand with Paul? We start tomorrow morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your kindness to us, Lord. And though we know, Lord, the message may sound kind of harsh coming from a person that's not very wonderful in his speech and his ways, but at least honest, Lord. We do thank you anyway, Lord, for the word, and pray that no matter how it's given, we believe that it was given with the right atmosphere, because it's a dynamized word, Lord. It's a vindicated word, and that's what our thoughts are. To bring before the people the realization every minute of their lives, if possible, that we are living in the presence of him who has returned to the pillar of fire, as Brother Branham said, stands ready to raise the dead. But even at this minute, more important, here to bring us a complete revelation of what we have need of in our own little areas, whatever they may be. And that's what counts, Father, tonight. We pray that we all may come to the place, Lord, of receiving the full revelation that we have need of in this hour, knowing, Lord, that the dead are waiting upon us. We're not waiting upon them, Lord, except in a very limited way. We know that no matter how far that we come, and we can go all the way, it means that they'll come forth resurrected before we're glorified. But in the long run, it still means the truth. They're waiting on us. And they without us cannot be made perfect. We have this better thing that Peter spoke of. The great witness to the Son. This is my beloved Son. in whom I am well pleased, as the prophet said. Lord, all these things we thank you for. We just ask you now as we go preparing for the taking the word, Lord, and the communion foot washing, you bless us therein. Give us what we have need of. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read again, of course, and I say, of course, because I just simply turned to 1 Corinthians all the time. We could read other passages, 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. But this is where Paul sets the church in order. Kind of the same way that Brother Branham set the church in order with tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Because the order of the service that Paul set forth here is merely the dedication of a mechanical description so that anybody can do it and do it correctly. But of course, there's much more beyond that. The spiritual impact. However, we must understand the mechanics must be correct. And these people here, because of their faulty mechanics, which proved the spiritual was lacking, unless they listened to Paul, came back, and then took it from that step where they left off. It was very dangerous what they were doing. And I've said on more than one occasion, it's a tragic thing, but they were leaving the table of the Lord and foot washing in worse shape than when they came. Now, this is something that you've got to recognize here. Because you never hear one sermon preached. You don't hear a wedding. You don't see a baby dedicated. You don't hear anybody buried, which thank God I haven't had to do. And I hope I never have to do. But what somehow, if it can possibly be done, we refer always to a vindicated message. We never, ever bypass it. Because I am not interested in a message. Anybody can bring a message. And the devil's servants, transforming themselves by the influence of Satan, transform themselves into servants of light, which means they are attempting to give you a revelation of the Word of God, the same as the serpent did, the beast. So, people like that can take the Lord's Supper, everything else, and it doesn't do them any good because the light is not in them. The revelation is not there. Cain went through the mechanics of a first fruit offering, and he died for it. Now, he said, I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. I delivered it. He said, I didn't keep it, I gave it to you. This is a divine revelation, not of Jesus the man himself, but the word from the Logos. He doesn't just say, I recognize the Lord and I'll tell you about him. He tells you that he was taught by Jesus Christ, this gospel, and he did not know that this had taken place by himself. He did not know it. He only knew it because the Lord himself told him out there in the desert in Arabia. And he said when Jesus gave thanks, the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and gave thanks. And he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he stopped saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye, so if ye drink it in remembrance of me. Okay, you're looking at the fact here, the broken body, the shed life, the shed blood. You're looking at the fact that this is done in remembrance of him. For as oft you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. So therefore, this cannot be refused, the people, until they're transformed and you've had your last supper as a mortal. Now, many people don't believe that you can take the Lord's Supper anymore. The preacher that preaches that and the church that does it is in gross error. Just plain gross error, that's all. You keep doing it. I said, let a man examine himself, so you mean that bread and drink of that cup. Now, the examination here at the end time has got to be, from what we read in Shalom, what is the light of the hour? What if you're not in it, you don't have a right to take communion with those who do. Now, you could take communion with the other gang down there, and you're going to drink condemnation. Because you're denying the light of the hour. Well, we don't want to do that. So the first great thing is, am I unworthy to take the Lord's Supper? In the light of Shalom? No. In the light of Shalom, certainly not. See? Let a man examine himself, eat of that bread and drink of the cup. He that eats and drinketh unworthy, eats and drinks condemnation himself or judgment. Not discerning the Lord's body. Okay? He doesn't discern. He doesn't understand. What's he doesn't understand? Well, look, they're off the word. Right? They don't have right fellowship. The rich people bring good rich food. The poor people, some don't even have anything. So the rich ones sit there and look down pityingly upon the poor folk while they gormandize and gorge themselves. What I'm trying to show you is the very principle I've been talking about here. The fellowship we have, the love and understanding and the family community and compatibility depends upon a real understanding of the Word of God. And if you haven't got that, you'll never discern the rest of it. Now, let's be very nasty. Because I'm at my best when I'm nasty. No, I just want to tell the truth. And I've already told it. How in the world can there be that love and compatibility? Now listen to me. If certain people proffer the hand of love and of fellowship and compatibility, and other person keeps drawing back from them, why? When have I ever put my hand in your pocket? I'm going to use me an example. Now this doesn't hold because this isn't true. At least I hope before God it's not really true. When have I got my hand in your pocket? When have I taken from you? When have I asked you to produce? I've only fed you the Word of God. Now let's look at each other. If proffering complete wholeness to each other is rejected, now listen carefully, the person rejecting becomes a heretic, which means he's on his own and a separatist because he's got his own ideas and he doesn't like yours as a community spirit. He says reject after he gets one chance. Do you see what these people were doing? They were simply off that. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying because I know what I'm saying. And I've been saying it for 8 solid years about, no, I haven't been. I preached on love about 5 years ago. And I knew it either break or make us as a people, what I was describing in that word. And I haven't left it, and I'm not going to leave it. And I want you to know this here. If you really believe this word and I do, there is nothing stopping us from having fellowship and walking in the light where there is an openness and an empathy and a sympathy and a union and a family. And that doesn't mean you come to my house and eat my food. Or you write checks on my bank account. It transcends all those things. It is word, brother, sister, with word. And word never fights word. It is always in harmony. Now I'm laying it on, and I know you're agreeing, but you better do more than agree. You got to do it. You got to do it. There's no way. Now listen, if this church should ever split, we're not in any danger at this point. I don't know any way that would cause a problem. Any problem would be purely one of misunderstanding. And when the chips are all down and the records are all read, all the receipts are in everything, anybody who wants to misunderstand will be before God with many voices raised against him. Because everything here is all above board and all done right. We have records, 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 everything. There is no reason, I say, any looking down the road and saying anything formidable. But there's everything to believe there can be one church somewhere that can see the light and walk in it. Now you do what you want. I challenge this church to sit here with the Word of God and put everything under it. Now, I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. I'm just telling what it says right here in this book. They were messed up because they didn't understand the revelation of the Lord's Supper. They were worshiping a God, God without a revelation. They were going through the motions. What would have made that church the same church as the Ephesian church? The revelation. Paul didn't have to set the church in order. It was in order. And then to them he revealed the secret of the coming Spirit of God as it came to him at the end time. And bring a church right into the millennium. Well, come on. They weren't different from you and me. I just read it. Brother Branham said, there is this man this morning. He goes out, brings up the newspaper, comes in, puts his feet up and starts reading. And his wife said, anything new, John? He said, no, just new people doing it. I just read from Shalom, this here. Well, Brother Branham, what about communion? Anything new about it? No. Just a bunch of new people messing up as usual. I hope you get what I'm telling you here. And I'm not being harsh. I just lay it on this way to get you to understand, hey, look, if we really believe this word together, if you're sold on it, you really believe what I'm saying. Because you know I've not made merchandise yet. That God is my judge. The records will soon be absolutely all lined up by accountants. You'll see every cent accounted for. You will find you were not made merchandise of. Nobody. The ministry that I brought with me that goes worldwide, as God allows it, that ministry came in here, has paid the way and then some. Nobody's been made merchandise of. I have one call, the same call that this church that goes out there to the west coast, east, north, south, all around, many places in the world and places I have no idea tapes were going until I hear about them. It's the same word. And the same answer comes back all the time. Brother Vail, my life is changed. So here we are tonight. It's a vindicated word. Not my word, it's a vindicated word. What does that do for us? I'm looking to see it, brother, sister, break down every barrier. Amongst a people until there's a unity that's blessed of God. The sweet Spirit of Christ moves amongst us till the sick are healed. Until nobody would even have an evil thought or a wicked thought about anybody. You say, I'm waiting millennium. Well, so am I. But in the meantime, that's where Brother Branham was. So I trust you're getting what I'm saying here. You're not feel bad at what I'm saying. You're just getting the point that, hey, look, we have something here that's real, real, real. Don't let it down for something else. Don't get the carts before the horse. Don't get the actions. Listen, don't plan the baby's life until you know it's not stillborn. Still don't plan the baby's life until you know it's got at least some smarts. It's not been born in complete dilemma. And this is what can be wrong with most churches. And I keep fighting and fighting. And don't plan anything outside of this word here. Then let this word begin to work in our hearts, minds, and lives. Then watch it. Because I saw what it did in Brother Branham's life. This word, brother, sister, is going to change our mortal bodies. Oh, we got some. And this Lord's Supper here, Paul said, you people are wrong on your revelation. And that's why you're sticky. That's why you're messy. That's why you're having all that trouble. And he said, I'm going to tell you, it's going to get deeper and deeper unless you smarten up. Now, he said, don't start judging each other. See, that's your works again. But what is it? Judge according to truth. What is truth? It's been revealed and vindicated, the light. Walking in the light. So that's what we got to say from this Lord's Supper tonight, brother, sister. Ask the Lord to help us. Look, whoever eats and drinks, that's that person's business. Unto the Lord he eats or drinks and drinks. Look, you could be a criminal tonight, just having killed somebody. God knows what you could be. Come right here. I wouldn't know one thing about you and care less. Whatever you do in that line doesn't affect me or anybody else. You're the one that's affected. See what I'm saying? So therefore, you don't worry at this point about actions and deeds. You worry about being in the Word, loving it, and giving each other the credit and the understanding to say, hey, I am with you because we're walking in the light. We know where we're going. We're going together. How can you walk together except they be agreed? How can this church walk in? I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, look, do we want to go to higher levels and higher heights? Then rise and shine. Take your place with the day star. And in doing it with each other. Can you believe for 1 minute anybody thoroughly in your understanding this message that Brother Branham brought will be out there smoking and drinking, committing adultery, robbing and mugging and doing these things people do? Can you tell me they'd be nipping on drugs? Come on. See, there's your answer. There's your answer. Why did Cain kill Abel? There's your answer. You listen, brother, said. That's all. Come on. Let's rise at this time. Deacons, come forward. When you prove a point, there's no use proving it over and over again. I've said that many times. Might as well live it now. Everybody else is supposed to come. Take care of the music and all these things. They're prerequisites. Fine. The rest of you can start. We'll just bow our heads and pray, and the rest of you can start coming from the back because they'll soon be out. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your kindness to us, Lord. And here again, Father, we know that it may seem strange at times to preach this way and to say we base it on nothing but word. But Lord, as I look in your book, I never saw one bit of light come in the scripture until it was a word. I don't see anything, Lord, until it's a word. The prophet said it was on a book, then it became word, then it became manifested. And I can see the same thing here, Lord. As David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Lord, it's the same thing right today as I see it amongst us. Help us tonight to come forward to this communion table assured of this one thing, that we believe as much as we can possibly believe that this is the truth and our brothers and sisters in this place stand for it. Therefore, we are one in the word. And as we're one in the word, we can go from there on. Cleanse our heart, Lord, and our minds from any double-mindedness or anything whatsoever as we partake, Lord, knowing that this is between you and us, each one of us, Lord. And it's a witness that we're walking in the light. And if we do partake one with another, it means we credit each other with the light we're walking in. So, Father, tonight, as we go through, heal the sick amongst us. We've seen some people healed. We're very grateful, Lord. But we're going to be more grateful still because we realize there's more people needing healing, oh God. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, as much as I can, at least with all my heart, maybe there's something in there, Lord, that's blocking some of the things out. I'm like that bottle of rocks, pouring water in. Need to get more rocks out. I suppose that's really true. But as much as I know, Lord, and I've got, I believe that the prophet said, this is it. And I'm doing it by your grace, fathers. Everybody in this building is doing it because I know we're one accord and one mind. So help us together now at this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You have your folk at the back and start moving forward now because, Lloyd, you'll be up here in a second to take care of the song service.